Hello and welcome to the Care for the Family podcast with me, Mark Chester, Stephen Hayes.
All right, Mark.
And Dan Ridgen.
Hey, Mark.
Dan is our special guest today, and this is the Dad Cave, where we discuss fatherhood in its varying forms and unpack some of the things that just often don't get talked about. So Dan, welcome to the Dad Cave. It's really good to have you here. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, well, look, first of all, thanks for having me. It's great to be here. My name's Dan, Dan Ridgen. My wife's Harriet, and we've got a daughter called Amelie, and we're from Newport.
Fantastic. And this is a bit of a new experience for you because you're normally on the other side of the camera, aren't you? You're normally operating the cameras, doing the sound, and now we put you right in front of the camera. So yeah, it's probably a bit nerve-wracking for you.
Yeah, all of a sudden I know what it's like. I am normally on that side. I know where I'd rather be. I think I'd rather be on that side for sure. But yeah, you know what? This is a good experience, and I'm looking forward to being part of it for sure. It'd be
fantastic. Great. Well, it's very kind of you to assume it's going to be a good experience. They're often not.
Yeah. But it's a big assumption, yeah.
Behind the camera, you're so confident. It's nice to see you. Just, you know, it's good for your vulnerability, I think.
Looking nervous. Yeah, it's shaky. Yeah, calm your hands out.
This thing is only blue tacked on, so do be careful.
All right, okay.
For those listening, yeah, table.
Table, yeah, true.
Well, let's settle all our nerves by going into the section where we do our dad jokes.
Oh, yeah.
Because obviously that settles us right down. We have a good laugh. To be honest, Stephen's dad jokes are always really deadpan.
Okay.
And what that does is it makes the audience really deadpan as well.
Yes.
Okay. So
we're very uncomfortable.
Yeah. So now I know, Stephen, in the past you've been a bit upset when I've always asked you to go first because then you feel like you're a bit of a warm-up act for me.
it's like get this one out of the way.
So yeah. Shall I kick it off?
Please do.
Then we'll go to you and then go to Dan.
Fine.
Finally, we'll work up to the best joke of the lot.
Oh, okay. No pressure.
Okay. So here we go. So my dad was a road worker. Right, he was a road worker, but he got fired from his job for theft. And he phoned me one day to tell me, I just couldn't believe it. But then I went home, and all the signs were there.
I mean, it's okay.
I have to say, that's one of my better ones. I
like the narrative.
Yeah, I mean, the build up was longer than the Lord of the Rings trilogy, but it's all right.
Okay, all right, Stephen, come on.
Again, this is an original, so you know, to take that into account. This is a joke where I actually want you to try and guess the answer.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
What is the dad of a newborn's favorite letter of the alphabet?
Well, I'd have to go and ask the dad of a newborn. What's your favorite letter of the alphabet?
Oh, gosh.
Dan?
S for sleep. Give me sleep.
Very good.
Okay.
Z's. You know, just tiredness.
Was that the punchline? Or was that just your kind of contribution to
that's
the possible
just my
answer?
Contribution. So this joke doesn't really have a traditional punchline in the in the usual sense. I kind of put it over to you.
So what letter is a newborn's dad's favourite letter of the alphabet?
It's quite convoluted, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah. And I haven't got a clue, so I'm just going to plump for one and say W. Okay.
Here's how I wanted this to play out, Mark. A little moment of honesty. Because they're sleep deprived. Here's how, in an ideal world, I would have said, what is the dad of a newborn's favorite letter of the alphabet?
Yeah.
In an ideal world, you would have said Z's, because sleep.
Right.
And I said, no, it depends who you ask. But then you literally just said, it depends who you ask as the starting point. Have you been, have you gone into my office and been looking at my notes again?
Oh. Stephen, I'm really lost now, to be honest. I'm so lost at this.
What we'll do is, in the aftermath of this episode, I'll write a better joke.
Yeah.
We'll edit it in.
Yeah.
Add in like a laughter track and nobody will ever know.
At least everybody knows this is a genuine conversation that we're having for the first time. It's not a rehearsal. I mean, we haven't rehearsed anything. There are no lines because clearly that just didn't work at all.
Well, you know, so, sometimes in life you just have to try things and
experiment.
Sometimes it doesn't go well.
I think we should probably move on fairly quickly and go to Dan,
who
hopefully has got a more traditional dad joke.
Now, here's the thing. Okay. Did I do a bad joke on purpose? That's what you've got to be asking yourself, to make things easier for Dan.
Yeah.
So
that's very kind.
That's kind.
That's up to the audience.
Yeah. That is kind. Well, look, I wasn't a big fan of facial hair, but it grew on me.
That is good.
You like that one?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
And as someone who other people might describe as having a beard, I don't think of myself as a beard person. Okay. But I do have one. So it's just, and it does, it just grows on you.
Yeah.
So does. Your joke works on at least two levels.
There we go.
As far as I can
tell. Here's the evidence.
Yeah.
Can I just check then? When you look in the mirror, what do you see? If you don't think of yourself as a man with a beard.
What do I look at? When I see, look at cowardice. Just shame of bad. I see the eyes. And I don't really get much past the eyes.
Right. Okay. Let's get into the topic, shall we?
Yeah, I think I've got the best, Mark.
Give everyone a huge relief. Yeah. Let's get into the topic. So what we're tackling in this episode is being a new dad. Because, Dan, as you mentioned, you've got a daughter, Emily, who's 4 months old. Yeah. So you're a new dad. And also an interesting angle to this is, Stephen, you've just become a new dad for the second time. So tell us a little bit about the new addition to your family.
Yeah, so our new addition is Lottie. And yeah, she's a month old today as we're recording this, and it's been a game changer, because it's just, and I feel like game changer is a bit of a cliche at the moment, but it has been really just interesting to see the different dynamic of going from, we had a dog anyway, so we kind of went from one to two in the first place, so it's a little bit now like we've gone from two to three, but sleep has been way easier than with our first, just because, bless her, she had a cow milk protein allergy that we didn't know about, so it has been easier this time, but still, like, sleeping all night versus sleeping, being woken up by that was my best impression, that was awful. But like a baby crying is just quite, it's, I think we're hardwired to be to
unsettled,
be unsettled by it, and to shoot into action, it's in hand. it's good, and our eldest Imogen has adapted very well to having a younger sister, so
great. It's good. People will now be reaching for the volume buttons on their phones to turn it down when you made that yelp.
Well, what we'll do is we'll go in later, edit it, and I'll do a more convincing baby cry sound effect.
Good. Okay, I think this is going to be quite fascinating, really, because we've got your experience as a new first-time dad compared to your experience, Stephen, as a new dad for the second time. Now, my last time I was a new dad was over 20 years ago, so I'm really relying on you guys here. I can remember some stuff, but I need you to share your sort of fresh experience.
So sorry to do this, Mark, but what year did you become a dad?
The first time, 1997.
97? Wow. Yeah. What year were you born, Dan?
93.
Wow.
How about that?
Gosh. Thank you, Stephen. It's really good of you to put all of this conversation in context of the fact that I'm an old man.
No.
Thank you.
Younger heart.
Bring the experience.
Okay, so Dan, a question I wanted to ask you was, did you always know you wanted to be a dad?
Yeah, good question. I think the answer to that is yes. Yeah, I think I did always want to be a dad. I always love the idea of having kids and raising them and seeing what they're going to be like when they grow up. That's always really exciting. It's really exciting for me. And Harry, my wife, has always wanted kids. She works with kids as well. So it's something that she's always really, really wanted. And I think it's strange. I think then as soon as kind of push comes to shove, I started feeling a little bit nervous. I think I started to kind of sense the responsibility a little bit behind it and see everything that kind of comes with it. And I started to feel a little bit more on the fence. If I'm honest, I went through phases of being like, yeah, I'm really up for it. And then actually, no, maybe I could probably leave it for a little bit and see what happens. So despite always being like, yeah, I'd be up for a dad, I think I certainly went through phases of kind of not really too sure at times.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you recognise that, Stephen? Is it different the second time round than the first time round?
I think the second time round, I've said this before, and I've probably said it on a different episode of this podcast, where I think a lot of dads have a child and then it's like a sudden wave of like responsibility and realisation kind of wafts over them. Mm. Whereas I never had that. I always felt like I had 9 months to prepare for it. So it didn't surprise me when our child came. But this time around, I was far less nervous during just the whole pregnancy. Because I think the first time around, you just don't know what you're dealing with. Mm. You know, stretching feelings and all the kind of stuff that goes on.
Yeah.
So I think this time around, the big difference has been kind of having a base level of confidence going into it. There's certain things that you might, and you might find this, Dan, like there's certain things you might panic about the first time around where you're like, man, they're breathing really quickly, or fear that they're too hot or too cold, or
there's been many a time we've just kind of woken up at like, just had that little look over. You want to just make sure that the heart's still kind of, the yeah. chest is still going.
Yeah.
I went over to the bed one night just to check. And Harry, I've never seen her move so quickly. My wife just went, bong, shot up straight and had a look as well and went, what's going on? Just because I was just like there looking
did you
over
jump out
her
of your
bed.
Skin?
I did when she shot up like that. But I was like, that's amazing. But thankfully she was okay. Emily was all fine. And that's the thing, like they're fine, aren't they? They're usually fine. But I think it's just that kind of fear that you've got this life that you're looking after in his first couple of months, and it's like, oh gosh, like how do I be a responsible adult in this situation?
I do remember that moment when you bring them back from the hospital for the first time, and all of a sudden, you sit at home and you've been looking forward to this for a long time, maybe with a bit of apprehension, because I think that's normal, isn't it? If any new experience, you want to do it, but you're also nervous about it. You bring the baby home, you put them in the living room in their car seat, you sit down, and then it's like that moment, isn't it, of, what do we do now?
And I
just remember distinctly it dawning on us at that moment, gosh, this is a huge responsibility.
Yeah.
And we really don't know what we're doing.
No.
I know, it is weird when you walk out and you have the baby with you and you're like, no one's stopping us.
Yeah. So but also slightly, I find that slightly reassuring in some instances as well, because actually I don't think many dads really go into it knowing completely what they're doing. So actually kind of being like, actually, I'm not sure what to do here. You just got to go with the flow as such, don't you? And hope for the best.
Yeah. Gut instinct as well.
Gut instinct, that's the word. Yeah, yeah.
The funny thing is with a human baby, like dogs are born and pretty much can just stand up and do things themselves, or like deer out in the wild just kind of get on with it as soon as they're born. But with our babies, like, they're so small and so delicate and so reliant on us, so you do naturally feel like, so what if I'm going to check her three times in a night or
yeah
more?
You want to, don't you?
Yeah,
you just really want to do it, check they're okay, because you love them so much. Yeah. It's something that you can't really explain until you actually become a dad.
Did you have expectations of what the first 4 or 5 months would look like, and how's it gone? How have you found adjusting from being a couple to suddenly having a child?
It's certainly had its challenges, for sure. It's not been easy at all. I think if someone came to me and said you're going to feel absolute joy and at the same time it's going to be really, really difficult, I wouldn't have really known what that looks like beforehand. But actually, when you're in it and you're in the moment, that is actually what you feel. You feel those two things, which is really kind of lovely. And you kind of get those lovely moments where she looks up at you and smiles at you, and it just kind of makes you feel a warm and gooey inside, and the next minute she's crying and it's like, oh no, what do I do? I can't do anything. So there's been one or two times where Harry's kind of gone out to see some friends and I've tried to kind of take some responsibility for the evening, given it a go, and Emily's screamed and I've been like, what do I do? And I've been on the phone to Harry saying, should I try this? And Harry always, like, she just knows what to do. And we put this white noise on. That's been the thing that Emily's been kind of settling down to. And it's kind of rested her a little bit. So I think those first few months have been a little bit overwhelming, I guess, at times, for sure. It's been overwhelming. But then when you kind of get to that stage where Emily calms down and she's resting and she's smiling, it's a really sweet moment. And we've had some really lovely times together so far, for sure.
It's a shock to the system, and I think you become a parent, but then there's also the relationship with your partner or spouse. Like, I remember in the early stages, first time around, like, we just kept missing each other, misunderstanding because you're both tired. Like, did you have that at all with Sue when your kids were born?
Yeah, certainly. And I think you're all just focused on the kids completely, aren't you? But hopefully, you know, together you're focused on them. You know, you're both working towards the same ends. I think, you know, listening to you guys speak, what struck me, and just remembering back now, because it brings it back when you hear other people talk about it, is just that depth of feeling that perhaps you just have never quite had before. That sense of, well, deep love and deep sense that you just want to protect this baby at all costs, really. It's something instinctive, isn't it? It's just, and I say it's instinctive. I know not everybody gets it straight away. I know there are some dads who struggle to engage, just like there are some mums with their children.
Absolutely.
So I'm not assuming everybody gets that feeling straight away. It comes at different times. But when it does arrive, it's often so deep, it's quite frightening in a way that, wow, I didn't know I could feel this level of this level of love, really, for somebody else.
That's it. I think those first couple of months especially are such a blur, aren't they? They go by so quickly.
Yeah.
But actually,
yeah,
looking back on it, I could probably analyse the feelings, some of the feelings that I felt, do you know what I mean? But not maybe some individual moments. It's the feelings of kind of like just happiness, like intensity, stress at times. But
The blur thing is so true, because the first few episodes of this podcast we did, I think Imogen was 8 months old and sleep still wasn't great. Yeah. And I've watched once or twice, watched it back. I'm like, I don't remember anything of this. So there's a good chance in a couple of years, you'll watch this and be like, nope, I don't remember being in the room.
No, I think it's true.
That is a good point, because at the moment, when struggles are happening, challenges are happening, in the moment, you think it's going to last forever. You know, you think this is it. Mm. But then when you do look back, you think, well, it was only a relatively short period of life, really, that those, you know, whether it's lack of sleep or whatever it is, then often it does pass quite quickly, doesn't it?
Yeah.
What was it like for you, Steve, when you were left with Imogen for that first time? Were there kind of some, were you feeling nervous? Were you feeling excited?
Well, so with Imogen, breastfeeding didn't last as long because Beck got mastitis and just she was told to stop, basically. So from fairly early-ish, I was kind of able to do feeds in the night and that kind of thing. And that's been a different thing. So with Immy, I was up loads. Like we did shifts. And I remember saying, like after the 2 weeks paternity, Beck, like I'm going back to work next week, managing a team. I've got to be sharp. And I'm going to have to start sleeping through the night. And Beck said, I just don't know how I'm going to do it, because she wouldn't go down at all. Mm. And I just said, okay, we'll just do shifts and see how we go. So I was getting up in for like 3 hour stints in the middle of the night. And while being really hard, it was also, sometimes I think back and I'm like, it was really precious just having that like time just with her. And it has been different this time because she's breastfed. So I've never fed her and never, like, I've burped her a handful of times. And so it's just, there's just been a different element. So with Immy, being left with her was kind of normal. And I've always done a daddy-daughter date every single month of Immy's life. And I'll do the same with Lottie.
Yeah.
First one should probably be today, actually, in fact.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, it's kind of, it is nerve-wracking, but you kind of just, like, right, I'm it might be a just competitive guy thing where I'm like, yeah, I can do this. Beck's with her all the time. I can manage this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are such special times of bonding, I think, as well. Actually, just times when you can kind of just be with them and be around them and just like feel like you're able to kind of, just have that bonding moment.
Yeah.
It's quite special.
What has been your sort of favourite moment? Has there been one particular moment, or is there one particular time of day or one thing that you do regularly with Amelie that actually that's a really special time for you?
Oh, that's good. Yeah, well, I think one of the regular things we're kind of starting to get into the flow at the moment is bath time. So I'm on bath time at the moment, which I find is really fun. And she gets bubbles in her mouth and she gets bubbles everywhere. And that's really quite special. I do like that. And sometimes I'll bring my parents in on a phone call and she gets to see her in bath time because my parents are down on the South Coast. And that's really special too. But more recently, Amelie's just learned to roll over. And for some reason, that just actually got, that was quite emotional for both Harry and I. We both were there and we were like there clapping, like really cheering at her. And she was looking up at us like, what the heck? Yeah, what are you doing? But it was the first time Amelie's just rolled over. And it was almost like a first thing of independence. Like she's done that by herself. And she's just learned to do it. It's hard. Like that must be so difficult for a small baby to do.
Rolling over is the first in a long line of many things they do. That's like, oh no, they get more independence.
Yeah.
18 years, she'll get a car and
be off into the distance.
It's true, isn't it? You're desperate. I remember being desperate for the kids to crawl, you know, we just want them to crawl. And then once they started to crawl, we were like, I wish they'd just stay still again, because it was just constant. Yeah.
You're right.
But it is lovely to see them develop and grow, isn't it? And I think you're right, Stephen, that happens all the way through life. So, you know, my children are 24 and 20, and now when they do something new or have a new experience or they try something out, I feel really pleased, you know, still feel really proud. Still now that they've developed, something's changed, something's moved on.
And it's good to see those outgoing characteristics in your child, because you want to raise children that you like and that outgoing as possible. Obviously different personality types, but when you see them just stepping out in something, so rolling over is like, it's an achievement. It's like she's actually achieved something.
Yeah.
And it's very sweet.
Very sweet, for sure.
One of the things I think is a massive game changer is just the loss of freedom in the traditional sense. Mm. So before you have kids, I mean, it depends on the couple, but you could be sat there at 10 o'clock and go, should we go clubbing? Yeah, all right. Like, you literally do I take next week off and we'll go to Spain? Yeah, all right.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas that's gone. Like, you can't just do stuff anymore. Mm. So have you guys found just adapting to, like, you can't go to your friends every Friday night as easily as you might have done and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, that's a good question. That's not been easy. And I think it's been one of the things that we've brought up in conversation between Harry and I quite a lot recently. And I think the fact it's kind of like a mutual thing between Harry and I has been quite reassuring in itself. We both get to talk about it and both understand that it's actually something that we really, really, really need. So we've tried to, I guess, bring things in place to try and counteract that. But it's never gonna be the same as it was before. Like, it just isn't
ever.
Yeah. Well, that's what it feels like at the moment anyway. It hasn't been easy. That's one thing actually that we really did enjoy was going out beforehand, like going out just for dinners in the evening, spending some time together. And I guess the reality is, like, that isn't going to completely stop. We are going to be able to go out and have a dinner.
Getting sitters in the future will be easier, like, the older they get.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. But it's easy at this stage to kind of be like, oh no, what's going on? And it has been like that. We've had lots of conversations like that.
It always amuses me when new parents say, well, the baby's not going to change any of that. We'll just take the baby with us. And you kind of look back and think, give it a couple of months, and it doesn't work quite like that, really. But it does come back, you know. In 20 years' time, you will have those evenings back. But the difference is 20 years' time. But the difference is, you sit then there at 10 o'clock then, and you're not thinking of going out clubbing. You're thinking, oh, we're going to bed late tonight.
Yeah, and even before Lottie was born, like, we were back. We've got, you know, people in our church or family that babysit, and it does allow you do get that freedom back, you know, in little pockets at least. Mark, I think it might be the appropriate time to just do our new feature, which is the quick fire questions, so people can just get to know our guests
definitely
a little bit better.
Fire away.
Oh, go on.
Yeah. So a few questions, Dan. Okay. Don't be nervous. Don't
no pressure.
Just say the first thing that comes into your head, just so we get a taste of who you are.
Okay.
So can you tell us, what is your favorite film?
Casino Royale.
You're just saying, like, you saw Bond last night.
Maybe.
Favourite sports team?
Bournemouth Football Club.
Favourite book?
Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe.
Nice. Favourite TV show?
Blue Peter.
Wow, still.
Still.
That was very decisive.
Still. Yeah, come on, bring it on.
Beck has three or four Blue Peter badges.
Really? Oh, really?
Okay. Favourite superhero?
Batman.
Favourite Spice Girls song?
Good question. On the spot, it's hard to come up with one of those, isn't it? I really, really want to sing a cigar. I've got the lyric.
Wannabe. Favorite drink?
Orange juice.
And your favorite plant?
Acer tree. I like an Acer.
Good answer.
It's really good. Dan's actually, you're becoming quite green fingered, I hear.
Oh. Yeah, I do like a few plants. I like plants here and there. I'm getting into them. Good for the old, headspace, isn't it? For sure. Yeah, it's good. Are you into plants, Mark?
No.
It's the short answer.
Yeah, I was going to try and think of something to say to soften it, but the answer is no. Really. I cut the grass. That's about all I do garden-wise, really.
Good
cut
man.
The grass.
Yeah, so, can't beat it. Smell of fresh grass cut.
Yeah.
I feel like we know you. We know you that bit better now.
Yeah. Brilliant. Great. I'm just wondering, I'm thinking about kind of lead up to being a father and then being a new father, about where you get your support from. Mm. So how well did you feel supported in the lead up to becoming a dad, and how well are you supported as a new dad?
Yeah. We were quite lucky, I guess, to have people around us who we could kind of go to, who were maybe those kind of first few, those few years ahead of us, I guess, who we could kind of turn to and say, like, what did you do in this situation? How did you best prepare? To be parents, and actually having your own parents around is quite handy too, to kind of say, just to kind of say, mum and dad, like, how did you do in those situations? We have a church as well, quite locally, so they were very supportive and prayed for us, which was really helpful too. There's that saying, isn't there? It takes a village to kind of help and raise a family. Mm. And actually, we've really, really felt that, like, big time. Having people around you just to kind of support you, people who are, like, actually maybe quite a lot older as well, who are well on that journey, is quite handy because they've just been through the lot. Maybe kind of having some people who are a few years ahead, and then just different people at different stages to kind of get that little pockets of wisdom along the way.
And did you get that while during the pregnancy as well, or I mean, how did you prepare during the pregnancy? Did you read stuff? Did you speak to people? Did you go along to antenatal classes? Or was it very much just on the hoof, really, and deal with the things as they happen? Or was there a lot of sort of, I suppose, training in a way?
I guess we were quite, again, I was quite lucky. Harry works in childcare anyway, so she had that kind of extra base level. That's it, exactly, the base level. But it didn't stop us from, like, feeling the need to read stuff and kind of getting into bits and pieces. So we were quite into the hypnobirthing, which is the whole idea of kind of like enjoying the pregnancy stages and learning to breathe through those sort of bits and pieces. And that was actually really, really good. It actually helped Harry quite a lot, just trying to imagine, and actually helps me as a dad quite a lot understand what the pregnancy bit is going to be like, because it is overwhelming, that experience. And again, nothing can prepare you for that element of it at all. And when you're in it, you're like, okay, what do I do here? But actually, we did the hypnobirthing, and that was quite helpful to do for us.
Great. How about you, Stephen? Did it change the second time round? Was there any preparation, or was it just, well, the preparation is in parenting Immy, really?
Yeah, I think the main preparation felt more logistical this time around. So, do we move? Do we have a big enough house to have another, and then finding out we're having another girl. So you kind of think, all right, well, they can share a room. We don't have to buy clothes from scratch because we've got everything. So it became a lot more about just getting the home ready, kind of preparing ourselves. But a lot of it was about feeding stuff to Immy to be like, you can have a baby sister. Mm. And trying to, she's two, so there's limits to how much she's ever going to grasp that. And even now, I'm kind of like, a month in, I'm like, I don't think it's really landed.
Right.
But I don't think it will in that sense. I think she's just at that age where you just kind of accept things as they happen. So, the prep was kind of, I think we have fair bit of confidence in our parenting style. We know when we've landed on how we do things as a couple and how we parent. Of course, working for Care for the Family, again, in terms of that base level, I've been going on I was in the events team for years, years and years of Rob and Catherine talking about parenting. So all that stuff's just been absorbed. So sometimes I think, instinctively we just kind of knew what to do there, but it probably wasn't instinct. It was just remembering something I've learned. One of the massive things was, and this is probably the key thing, and for you, Dan, as well, as a new dad, it's just one of the things Rob Parsons mentions somewhere in his books or is one of his events, is that psychologists say most people think a future event is going to make them happy, be it a new job, bigger car, bigger house, certain family, relationship, whatever. But truly happy people are happy in the moment. And for us, we always use that in our parenting to make sure we don't wish away any stage of
That's good.
Of the journey. Mm. So I think when they're screaming in the night, oh, it'd be so much easier when they're sleeping through the night.
Yeah.
When they're crawling, it'd be so much easier when they're walking. When they first start talking, it'd be so much easier when they've got proper sentences.
Yeah.
When they've got proper sentences, so much easier when they have comprehension.
Yeah.
But you could just do that for their entire life. It'll be so much easier when.
Yeah.
But the truth is, parenting is full of joys and hard times, but you just have to enjoy the now as best you can because,
it stops all the planning bit as well. How often are we like, right, we need to get her out the door, we need to get her this, but actually if you just stop and be in the moment, allow your brain to switch off a little bit, and when she's just there in your arms and she's just looking very chilled and relaxed, you can just enjoy that bit. Like, that's there to be enjoyed. It's quite special. I like that. It's quite nice.
I think we've got a great opportunity here for because Dan, first time dad. Stephen, you've been through it before. What advice would you give to Dan about looking after himself in all of this? Because it's really important, isn't it, that we take care of our own well-being as well. Obviously, we're very much focused on our children and they're our priority. But in doing that, we have to look after ourselves. So what advice would you give to Dan in the hurly-burly of being a parent for the first time on what he could do to look after himself?
That is a wonderful question. I'm not sure I have an answer to match it. I'd say, as a new dad, you just don't get much you time. It's really tough. So, you know, you might get up, help in the morning, I know you work, so you work all day, then you get home, you're back in the middle of it, and then you want to have some time with Harry, and so it's just about carving out time for yourself. And for me, probably not amazingly, but you know, for sometimes that meant getting up extra early so I can kind of go and do some exercise before the family wake up, just sort of, you know, a bit of clear in the headspace, all that kind of stuff. Sometimes it's, you know, Beck wants to go to bed at 8:30 and I'm going to read or watch a film or just something that's like me time. But I think carving that out is important. And man, so if you like gardening,
get
and
outside.
That's a hobby you enjoy.
Yeah.
You know, have a conversation. It's not just, I'm just going to do this because it's good for me. You want to have a conversation and make it a family decision. But it's good if you're in a good place, your family are in a better place because of it. So it's making sure you're carving out time for you to just switch off a little bit and recuperate.
Yeah.
Excellent advice, I think. Brilliant. I think this would be a great time to mention this leaflet, You're Going to Be a Dad. So it's a leaflet we produce at Care for the Family for people who are going to be dads, and it helps them explore the role and identity of being a father. And of course, we know, don't we, that not everybody who's listening to this will have a network of support like the ones we've spoken about today. And really, that's what we're trying to do at Care for the Family, isn't it? We're trying to support families where they're at. So if you're listening to this, if you're watching and you don't have a network of support, or you're just looking for some help, then please do get in touch with us at Care for the Family. We'd love to help you out. Now, Dan, in closing the podcast, we always ask this question, and it's this: what would you like to pass on to Amelie? So if you could pass on one thing, it could be a value, it could be an object, it could be a passion, it could be a hobby. What would it be?
Yeah. Well, actually, just going on from what Steve just said then, actually, one of the things that I appreciate is being by myself and having some moments of solace. And in those times, I love music. I have a real interest in playing the piano and the drums and all those sort of things. So I'd love her to be able to have an interest in music and a love for music as well, because it's really, really important to me. And I hope it will be really important to her as well one day.
Yeah, fantastic. That's lovely.
No problem.
Dan, thank you so much for joining us in the Dad Cave. It's been brilliant having him, hasn't
so
it?
So good. Wonderful.
And I know it'll be a great support and encouragement to other people who are new dads as well. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And that was another episode of the Dad Cave. Thanks for listening and watching. And we hope you can join us next time.